This is the son of PCJ.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Well, it's very nice to have you with us again for another edition of the program. This week, some unprecedented action took place in China. Journalists from the Southern Weekly newspaper, one of the most respected in the country, went on strike over censorship. Protests also took place in front of the newspaper's headquarters. Victor Gunatelica will join us for a review of the Texan PL660 receiver, one of the most successful being sold on the market. We have this and more, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus, almost at 100. But first, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
Prime Minister of Ukraine Mykola Azarov has congratulated Euronews on the occasion of its 20th anniversary, said the cabinet's press service. On behalf of the government, I sincerely congratulate the Euronews International Channel on the 20th anniversary of the broadcast. During these years, the channel has become stronger, expanding its audience. The channel has become one of the most popular international media due to the high professional skills of its staff, he said. Azarov also noted the attention the Euronews channel paid to the events taking place in Ukraine and the start of its broadcasting in Ukrainian. We appreciate the fundamental principles of democracy, freedom of speech, and the independence of the media. We are open to dialogue and look forward to the objectivity of the representatives of the world's leading news channel, the Ukrainian Prime Minister said. This week, staff from one of China's more progressive newspapers, known for doing cutting-edge reporting, walked out. The walkout had hundreds of people gather at their office in Guangzhou to support the paper's anti-censorship stance. The conflict began after a year-end editorial calling for democratic reform was scrapped by censors. It was replaced with an editorial praising the work of the Communist Party. For more, we have this report from Radio Free Asia.
Government supporters and anti-censorship protesters sparred verbally during a second day of demonstrations in the southern Chinese city of Guangzhou. This footage from a Chinese video sharing website shows several hundred protesters outside the offices of Southern Weekend, a newspaper known for its cutting-edge reporting. Demonstrators placed flowers nearby to symbolize the death of free expression.
In China, people lay flowers to mourn the dead. When Google withdrew from China, there were flower-laying activities in Beijing. So now we're laying flowers for Southern Weekend.
The protests erupted after Southern Weekend was forced to revise a New Year's editorial promoting political reform. Chinese authorities often suppress dissenting political opinions. The Guangzhou demonstrations pose an early test for a new slate of Chinese leaders that was unveiled in October during a Communist Party Congress. The protests are among the largest calls for greater freedom since the 1989 Tiananmen Square democracy movement, which the Chinese military put down with deadly force.
We will have more on this story coming up on today's program. Al Jazeera, the pan-Arab news channel that struggled to win space on American cable television, has acquired Current TV, boosting its reach nearly ninefold to about 40 million homes. With a focus on U.S. news, it plans to rebrand the left-leaning news network that co-founder Al Gore couldn't make relevant. The acquisition lifts Al Jazeera's reach beyond a few large U.S. metropolitan areas, including New York and Washington, where about 4.7 million homes can now watch Al Jazeera English. Al Jazeera, owned by the government of Qatar, plans to gradually transform Current into a new channel called Al Jazeera America. It will add 5 to 10 new U.S. bureaus beyond the 5 it has now and hire more journalists. Al Jazeera spokesman Stan Collender said there are no rules against foreign ownership of a cable channel, unlike the strict rules limiting foreign ownership of free-to-air TV stations. He said the move is based on demand, adding that 40% of viewers on the Al Jazeera English website are from the U.S. Al Jazeera has long struggled to get carriage in the U.S., and the deal suffered an immediate casualty as Time Warner Cable, the nation's second-largest cable TV operator, announced it would drop Current TV following the takeover announcement. For these and more media news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You can find a link to it at the bottom of our homepage, which is www.pcjmedia.com. That's the news and media for this week. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Journalists at the Southern Weekly, one of the most respected newspapers in China, went on strike this week in a rare protest against censorship. The row began last week when the paper's New Year editorial calling for constitutional reform was censored by propaganda officials. Furious, newspaper staff stopped work and demanded the resignation of the propaganda chief in Guangzhou, where the Weekly is based, and where hundreds of the paper's supporters scuffled with police. The far more conservative Global Times published an article criticizing the Weekly, which has been republished in newspapers across China on the orders of the Communist Party, prompting an outcry on Chinese social media. David Bandersky is the editor of the China Media Project at Hong Kong University. He speaks next to Karonia Podger.
The original cause of this incident was a New Year's greeting that was published by Southern Weekly. Version one was a very strongly worded pro-reform editorial calling for civil rights in China and constitutionalism. The second version was the compromise version, as we would expect to see in China's media, that still sort of fit the Southern Weekly reform tradition, but was very much weakened in its tone. After the issue went to bed, as we say, after the proofs were signed off by the five editors who were working on it, I think that was 3 a.m. on January 1st, the two top editors were called in to the provincial propaganda office for a consultation over New Year's greeting. And after that point, there were changes inserted, so another version, that then were not approved by those editors. In addition to that, the Guangdong propaganda leaders added an introduction, so an entirely new text, and that actually contained some serious factual errors, including one about China's history. So this is a real intrusion on the editorial independence, such as it is at the newspaper, the kind that it had been used to having, and also on its reputation as a professional newspaper.
David, there was a protest on Monday against this alleged act of censorship. Hundreds of people demonstrating outside the newspaper's headquarters in Guangzhou. Police allowed them to go ahead with that. Why do you think that was?
Calling it allowed is a bit touchy. You can officially apply in China to hold marches on various issues. But as far as I know, these are never approved. So, this was not a welcome action. I think it was a surprise for the authorities. There's something that needs to be clarified. Hopefully it's not too complicated to fit in to your show. But Southern Weekly, this newspaper, has, as I said, has been doing some very strong journalism, as a number of Chinese newspapers have, within an environment of control. They live daily with censorship. They didn't just wake up that day and say, we've had enough, we're protesting. What really happened in this case is that the encroachment by propaganda authorities in Guangdong stepped way over the line of the status quo of censorship in China. In other words, there's a degree of space that media do have, and censorship has worked in a kind of consultative basis. So there's an interaction between propaganda leaders and editors. In this case, propaganda leaders went beyond the editors, and without consultation, they inserted content. And that's completely unprecedented, especially at a newspaper like this.
Now, this row has escalated every day since the article appeared on January the 1st, and you've been following support for the Southern Weekly's journalists on social media. What kinds of things are people saying?
Well, one of the things that people are objecting to vociferously today, especially, is an editorial in the Global Times newspaper, which is known as kind of a nationalistic pro-party newspaper. And it looks now that this editorial was forced into many newspapers in China by a directive from the propaganda department. That would be the central, the highest level propaganda department. And essentially this editorial kind of brands the people who have supported the newspaper, Southern Weekly, as an isolated group of people supported by foreign hostile forces, as they tend to call them, and they don't really represent the broader mainstream view. And this has created a big backlash on Chinese social media. And one of the memes that we've seen today is comparing this propaganda and comparing this editorial to feces. There's been a lot of posts today. It's very interesting talking, for example, that Southern Weekly, which represents the strong journalism tradition, and Global Times are separated only by a piece of dung, if you will. But the difference is that Southern Weekly scrapes up the dung and Global Times eats it. I'm not just joking here. This has been all over the place. Mm. And there have been political cartoons posted on social media that liken propaganda to the feeding of feces to the population. So this all speaks to a very visceral sense of anger, I think, about the control of speech and about propaganda.
What kind of pressure does that put on the country's incoming president, Xi Jinping? He's coming into office having promised a more open style of governance in China.
Well, we in fact don't know exactly what Xi Jinping's vision is, and this is a real problem. I think in the last 2 months, since he became General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, there's been speculation on the one hand that he might represent a more open policy across the board and be interested in reform. And in fact, when we did our reading of the 18th Party Congress at the China Media Project, our reading was very pessimistic. We saw nothing in Xi Jinping's statements to indicate that any sort of substantive change was on the way. And if you look at his speeches since the 18th Party Congress, I think that conclusion is still borne out. But what we have on the other hand is a concerted propaganda campaign that has tried through the state media to project this image of openness. But no one knows at this point. And the Southern Weekly case, this is really the first test of that ostensible openness that Xi Jinping has tried to represent.
And that was David Bandersky, the editor of the China Media Project at Hong Kong University, speaking to Karinia Podger. Well, it's now time for receiver review time. For those who watched the last Media Network Plus video for 2012, you saw that I did a very quick review on the Texson PL660. Well, we sent one of these receivers off to our good friend Victor Gunatelica in Sri Lanka, who now joins us on the line to talk about what he thought about the radio. Now, Victor, you know, there's one thing about this radio that I am very surprised about. I have another very expensive receiver, the ATS-909X, which is a lot more than the PL-660. But yet on the PL-660, I can pick up stations that I can't get on the ATS-909X.
And that's exactly what I would like to say. The sensitivity of the set is absolutely fantastic. I was picking up, you don't believe me, Cuba, Radio Rebelde, 5025, and I'm right across the world from Cuba. On the Texson 660, I could pick it up reasonably clear that it's there just on the whip, and that's how sensitive it is. I'm really thrilled with the sensitivity on the higher bands, BBC, Radio Australia, and the bigger stations. I don't even need to use the external antenna that comes with the radio. I'm completely sold on the sensitivity of this fantastic little portable. It's really dynamite.
It's really dynamite. And Victor, you know, one of the nice things about it, and this is something that you don't see too often on portable radios, the predecessor to the PL660 was the PL600. And it had AM, FM, like most radios do. It had the shortwave bands, but it didn't have the air band or single sideband.
Today, without single sideband, no DX or no serious listener, I will go for a radio because it's also important. And I love the 660 with the long wave, medium wave, short wave, sideband, synchronous detection, and the air band. And I would plead with them, please add the VHF amateur radio band 144 to 148, and you have a winner.
How did you find it on single sideband reception? Occasionally, I will listen to Armed Forces Radio in the evening, and not inside the apartment, but if I go outside, I can actually use the whip antenna, and I have no problem picking up their very small 3-kilowatt single sideband.
I love the variable BFO on most portable radios and some tabletops as well. What you have is you switch on to lower sideband or upper sideband, and all you got is just to tune around slowly with the main tuning knob to clarify your single sideband signal. But the old radios, the post-war or wartime radios, had this variable BFO, which is absolutely excellent. I love the 660 because they have a separate variable BFO plus or minus. So you go on to sideband, and then you have this little BFO variable switch, which you can tune sideband excellently. Now, that is a feature I don't find in many, many portables. I give the Texan 660, PL660, full marks. And you know, that variable BFO does so much more than just picking up single sideband stations. For the Sirius DXer, that's his frequency calibrator as well. You zero a station on it. Excellent. I love the sideband tuning capability and that variable BFO there. It's absolutely excellent. And for just a few $100, $100, $125, $30, $40, $50, depending on where you buy it, you have an excellent radio. Whether you are a traveling a businessman wanting the big time stations, or even if you are a young DXer who can't afford anything more than, say, $100 to $150, this, I would say, is fantastic buy for your money.
You know, Victor, something that we're starting to see now in a lot of portable radios like the PL660 is the capability of recharging nickel metal hydrate batteries directly inside the radio. There's no need to take them out anymore. So you don't have to worry about taking the batteries out and then having to reset all the timers and all the clocks later.
Yes, that's a fine feature. I like the batteries here, the nickel cadmium battery, rechargeable batteries. You plug in your power supply, the power charger, and it works, as you say, no resetting and all that. And Keith, I went one step further by putting in high amperage batteries, 2000 milliampere batteries, some good stuff there, and especially on shortwave and also on sideband, the audio is very steady with the higher amperage batteries there. The supplied batteries are not so good, but as you say, they last and you don't have to change them. But if you go up to a higher amperage batteries, nickel cadmium batteries, I think you're going to enjoy this radio even more, and also the stability, and also you can increase the audio and the batteries won't keep fluttering. So I recommend some good rechargeable batteries in it instead of the supplied low ampere batteries.
You know, that's something that I've been telling people that have invested into the radio, because the Texan batteries, actually, and this is something I've told people before, the only thing that I really don't like about that radio is the batteries that they supply. That's the only thing.
Yes, I think that's good for starters. You buy something in the store and you're running off in the airport, you have a set of batteries that they have provided. That's okay. That's okay for short term. But if you are really using this as a long-term radio, I know DXs in South Asia who use this radio as their main radio, hours of listening. And I think I would recommend them that they use a little higher power batteries that will make them life much more exciting and so much more interesting.
How does the radio perform using the AC adapter? We've seen problems before when a lot of portable receivers, when you're using the AC power, it makes a lot of interference for the radio.
Here what I found is not so much interference or something like cross modulation or anything like that, but it picks up the power line noise.
Okay, Victor, one final word. If you were to rate this radio on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Taking the price category, I would say, well, I can't give it 10. I would give it 8. I would give it 8. And that's because one or two minus points, I think I should be fair. I don't like the keypad entry. The keys are a little tough to reach. And at times, you know, until you get used to it, you tend to be slow on it. And the radio has already finished, tuning out. So I love the rounded, elevated, round tuning, input tuning knobs of the ATS-909, that type of radio. So minus points for the keypad entry bars and also the whip antenna. I can't pull it out from the base a little bit and have the antenna vertical. It tends to collapse at times. If not for that, I would give it 10. Say, a very good 8.
But overall, it's excellent.
So when you asked me to do this review, I really contacted quite a few people who own this set. I didn't get one person who wrote it off. He said, we are thrilled with it, happy with it. So I think when I say it's an excellent buy, I take quite a lot of people with me.
Victor Gonatetica, thank you very much for joining us, and it's great to talk to you in the new year.
It's been a pleasure being with you, and greetings to all our PCJ listeners.
Now, one of the comments that we had on the program last year from many of you was that we should do more receiver reviews. Now, it's something, of course, we just don't have the time to do every single week, but we should do them more often. I think that's a valid point. And I think that we should also involve you, the listener, because, I mean, you're the guys that are going to go out and buy the radio. So this is what we're going to do. How would you like to review a receiver here on the program? Right here on Media Network Plus. Well, it's going to be very easy. How it's going to work is we will send you a receiver, but we're not going to tell you what it is. You play with it for a couple of weeks, then we will call you and we'll record a conversation of around 8 to 10 minutes. And you can tell us what you think about the receiver, what you like and what you don't like. At the end of it, you can actually keep the receiver. Now, as I said, I'm not going to tell you, we're not going to tell you what it is. We're going to keep it as a surprise. So when you get it out of the box, you will know right away. Now, if you want to take part in this, it's very easy to do. Send us an email and address it to mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Include your name, how long you've been an SWL or DXer, what are some of your favorite stations, what do you listen to the most, your address, which is very important, and your phone number, and the best time to call you to record the review. Leave that in UTC time. That's always easier for us. And also let us know, of course, if you can record it on Skype. So if you want to be a PCJ Media Network Plus reviewer, let us know. mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can find the details at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. All right, now, I would like to take a moment to announce the first two who are going to be getting a receiver from us for the month of January. We're going to be doing more next month as well. The first one is Jose Pedro Turner in Portugal. That's Jose Pedro Turner in Portugal. And Christ Frietis in Memphis, Tennessee, USA. So, Chris and Jose, we will be sending you out a receiver in the next week. We're not going to tell you what it is, but I'll send you an email after the program goes on air. So, let us know when you receive it. And it's just, of course, to confirm all your details and everything else. So, good luck, and we look forward to having you on the show. All right. Now, what can we expect with propagation over the next 7 days? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from January 12th to January 18th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 120 on January 12th. On January 13th and 14th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 115. From January 15th to January 17th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 110. And on January 18th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 105. We'll see an A index of 5 on January 12th, spiking at 10 on January 13th. From January 14th to January 18th, an A index of 5. KP index starts out at 2 on January 12th, going up to 3 on January 13th. Then from January 14th to January 18th, a stable KP index at 2. Over the weekend, a profusion of 14 new sunspot groups peppered the solar disk with dark cores, each one a potential source of eruptions. NOAA forecasters estimated a 35% chance of M-class flares and a 5% chance of X flares during the 24-hour period between January 8th and January 9th, 2013. Two coronal holes on the Earth-facing side of the Sun were generating a solar wind that should have reached Earth between January 8th and 9th, 2013. Sunspots currently observed are 1638 through 1653. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. Once again, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. And do write us with your details if you want to be a reviewer of a receiver right here on the program. And congratulations again to Chris Frietes in Memphis, Tennessee, USA, and Jose Pedro Turner in Portugal. If you want to listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, you can check us out at www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. That's pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. And that's it. Okay, we're going to leave you today with a recording actually called Telstar. Now, people may remember that was one of the first communication satellites that was launched many, many years ago, and it actually turned into a song, actually, that was composed by Joe Meek. So here are the Tornadoes with Telstar. So until next time, friends, on behalf of Paulette McQuarrie and Dan Hensley, this is Keith Powell wishing you well. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.